Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to talk about a subject that is near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
It's recovering from an embarrassing or humiliating event at work. I mean, that's near and dear to us. I don't know about the rest of you. I mean, I'm always impressed with people that don't have these humiliating events because they're pretty regular for me.
Yeah.
And you too, right, Catherine?
Oh, yeah. Very good at them.
Right. So our question comes from an individual who thought she was giving a casual presentation at a weekly meeting only to discover that the company's top executives were in attendance and it wasn't as casual as she thought.
Oh, my God. That sounds super stressful to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not only was she caught unprepared, but her anxiety got the best of her, resulting in poorly executing her presentation, which is how it happens.
And that is the kind of event that can take quite some time to get over, isn't it?
A couple of days for me.
A couple of years for me.
Yeah, it could be life-changing, actually. It could be pretty long-term. Anyway, all right, Logan, let's just go right to our humiliating question.
Last Tuesday, my boss asked me to give a brief presentation at our interdepartmental meeting regarding one of my current digital marketing projects. I said yes, assuming I could easily discuss the project, which I've been working on for months. When I walked into the meeting the next day, however, I discovered that several top-level executives were in attendance. One of them asked me if there was a PowerPoint to accompany my presentation. There wasn't. I began to panic, I could feel my face turn red, and my palms began to sweat. As I described the status of my project, I could see that the executives in the room were confused. They didn't understand the terms I was using. I left that meeting feeling totally humiliated, and now I'm furious at myself. I can't stop obsessing about what a fool I made of myself. How do I recover?
Yeah. I mean, I've learned to over-prepare for pretty much every meeting just because you just don't know.
Right.
But anyway, to go back to this person, it's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, what I was thinking is there are two forms of recovery here.
Mm-hmm.
One is professional recovery, which, Kathy, you're very good at giving people ideas about that. Mm-hmm. The other is personal recovery, which is the sort of shame spiral or the obsessive thinking or the anxiety or the lack of sleep that a person may experience after an event like this.
And certainly all the crying and embarrassing.
Ice cream eating.
Prepping your resume because you think you're going to get canned, those kinds of things.
So to go on the professional side, because I think the emotional, they're both pretty daunting. But on the professional side, it's really just one presentation. It's not the end of your career. Mm-hmm. And although it was a mistake, I think you can easily, approach these executives. I don't know what her relationship or his relationship is with them, whether it should be a mass email or it should be one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
It depends on the situation. And just say, I actually, you know, would love to give you that information again. That was an off day for me, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't have that I didn't put the preparation into what that meeting was about. I was not aware that the meeting was going to be that way. I think you got to own it.
Yeah.
That's basically the message here: is you own it and you say, "What can I do to repair it?"
Right.
How and when you do that depends on the cast of characters.
Right.
But that's. You know, we've talked about that before. When you make any kind of a professional mistake, you got to take responsibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess you'd also have to figure out what the channels of communication should be. You were saying, I'm not sure who it would go to initially. You probably would have to talk to your boss, the person who asked you initially to make that presentation and say, how can I make contact?
What can I do to repair?
Yeah.
Right. And your boss may say, I'll take care of it. Or your boss may say, look, I'm going to reschedule it.
Yeah.
And put together a PowerPoint. You know, who knows what your boss is going to say. If this is the 100th time you've done that, they may say, you know, this is your last day.
I'm sending you to HR.
But if you're this humiliated and sending this question into us, it's chances are this is the first time it's happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So people will cooperate with you.
Right. And see, I like that also. Just that whole thing, this was a mistake, mm-hmm. right? A misstep, mm-hmm. an error. It wasn't an intentional, let me screw this up and ruin my career mm-hmm. action. Mm-hmm. And so I love that strategy to go back and say, how can we repair this? How can I repair this? I understand I wasn't prepared. How can I make it better?
Right. Yeah. And also, more importantly, I think the most important piece is saying, I made a mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, there's so many people that don't, they just assume nobody noticed or they just don't want to admit it. And I think that backfires.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, and actually, I'm going to speak to the internal process. So sometimes an event like this, you feel so ashamed mm-hmm. and embarrassed that you don't want to revisit it. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You just want to kind of sulk away and hide in your cubicle or wherever it is you're working and hope that people do forget it. So I
right.
think that's a really good point that it's essential to address it. And that's actually part of what is your healing, so to speak, is that you have to forgive yourself for screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I think, also have to understand how the mind works. Like when we make a mistake, and it's an embarrassing public mistake, your mind, our minds, we're meaning makers. It is going to comb over that event over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's where the obsession comes in, where you think, mm-hmm. how could I have done it differently? Why didn't I get ready? How did I hear my boss tell me about presenting for this? And you we have an ability, and unfortunately women have a stronger ability than men do, to literally replay the painful moment in the incident.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah. That's my specialty. I go over it and over it and over it and over it. Yeah.
So
for years, actually, humiliating moments.
Ding,
come back.
Ding. Yeah. That's right. So that's I think it's important to be aware of that. That's how the mind works. That's how we try to fix things. But we imagine somehow working and reworking it in our minds is going to make it better. It won't. And the other part is that, and there was actually a piece in the New York Times, The Year of Conquering Negative Thinking, that brought up a really good point, which is we can't control, you can't like stuff those thoughts down. You can't control them, but you can try some version of accepting them, whether it's sitting in mindfulness meditation or writing about it or, you know, taking time just to let it spin while you're working out, that the mind will, it's going to have to process these thoughts. You can't really stop that. And my experience is that if you do try to tamp it down, it's going to come back in other forms, in other moments.
Mm-hmm. You mean if you try to just say, oh, that didn't happen, it's okay?
Right.
Yeah, then it haunts you later.
It haunts you later. You can get activated at another situation where you fear you're going to do the exact mm-hmm. same thing again. You may end up saying something inappropriate just because you're defending yourself and not mm-hmm. even realizing it. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's a certain amount of, it needs to run its course,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to feed the replaying of the actual event. So I guess
so
I'm
what
making
do you do when
distinction.
that it just automatically replays like a movie in your head?
Yeah.
What do? You say thanks for sharing and you shut it down?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you say thanks for sharing, the funny thing about the mind is that when it plays it over and over and over again and we push it down, it actually plays harder,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
comes back harder. So there is some value in just saying, okay, thanks for sharing. And if you need to talk to someone about it, mm-hmm. if you need to process it a little bit, that can help.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the unhooking things we talk about, if you mm-hmm. took an inventory of the situation, if you go and exercise on a regular basis and let your body kind of purge the event,
mm-hmm.
because when you do something wrong, it's like this, as I mentioned before, it triggers shame. And mm-hmm. shame is a very complicated emotion. It's very hard to untangle from.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give yourself time and room to process it and to get to the other side.
I think what's helpful for me sometimes is telling other people my embarrassing moment.
Right.
And then they tell me theirs.
Yes.
And then we end up laughing. And you realize,
right.
oh, everybody yeah. has these moments. And
yes.
everybody's done something equally as stupid at work. And
right.
look at them. They're just fine.
Right.
Ooh.
So it sort of neutralizes it. Like,
right.
okay, so you had your day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you have to learn from it.
Yes. Well, there, and that goes back to the whole you mentioned about preparing for mm-hmm. every meeting and mm-hmm. taking the time to really find out what's expected of you at any gathering, right?
Well, or overplan. I think mm-hmm. you can't really over, I mean, you can overplan, but, you know, to be extra prepared, chances of it happening are slim.
Right. Mm-hmm. Happening again.
Right. Or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That the more you understand, there's a couple of things in this example. One is that this person wasn't prepared with enough structure and also was using a language that the audience
right.
didn't.
She didn't know what the audience was, who was going to be in the audience.
Exactly. So that's an important thing to understand. Always ask questions before yeah. you go into any meeting. Who's going to be there?
Right.
What are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And then still over-prepare because things could change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking about then going to the your boss or whoever is required to repair the situation mm-hmm. and to be given a second chance, essentially, to deliver the information that was asked of her originally. We're also talking about preparing in the future, over-preparing, finding out who the audience is and what you everything that you may need to know before stepping into a situation. And then we're talking about the internal process, which is going to be some version of letting the thoughts run, getting support for processing emotionally what happened to you, and doing some of, I just refer to it unhooking naturally, but, you know, some activities, physical activity to release it, as well as if you need to take an inventory or actually talk it out with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think also remind yourself, probably not when you're in the heat of it, but that it's human.
Yes.
And that everybody has these moments at work.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of these senior executives will even share theirs with you so that they at least have some humanity about somebody yeah. making a mistake. Hopefully
yeah. mm-hmm.
they do. But if you own it, they're more likely to than if you bully your way through.
Right. And I love that idea of sharing with someone else their embarrassing mm-hmm. moments or, having mm-hmm. an exchange of sorts, because then we're getting down to our humanity, which is humanity is we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And we are embarrassed and humiliated on a regular basis.
Can you think one of your most awesome. embarrassing moments?
Well, I mean, I was thinking when we were talking about this today, I was thinking that this goes back to when I was a sales trainer mm-hmm. and I had been invited to some company. They wanted to do sales training. And I mm-hmm. knew one of the employees and he liked my method. He had mm-hmm. sat through it a couple of times. And I went and I met his boss and I was just talking about how I do sales training. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of minutes, he got really nasty. This is the boss. And he said, "You're not selling me. I'm not being sold." And I realized that he didn't like my style.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind he wanted. And he kept challenging me. "I'm still not sold. I'm not sold." So he wanted sort of this different image of sales that I would never be interested in doing. I was more of a consultative. We develop a relationship. And then when you're not looking, I get the order. You know, it was just a very different way of presentation. He wanted something that was, this just wasn't my style.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was a really difficult meeting. And I felt set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy who brought me in knew that.
Mm-hmm.
He knew
mm-hmm.
that. So that was, I rehashed that one many times.
Over and over again.
That was really painful. I needed the business.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I didn't get it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the term painful is an accurate one. That's when those things happen, even if it's the other person who's ridiculous, it's painful. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. I mean, I've had plenty of those. Have you?
No, I certainly have. It's funny because I can think of like one-on-one situations, but the most public one that I can remember is when I was in the Peace Corps and I gave a presentation to five islands
mm-hmm.
in physical health or hygiene or something like that. We were writing physical hygiene curriculum for the school system. And I somehow said, instead of saying we need to stretch our resources, I said I need to stretch myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept saying, "Could you say that again?" And so I would say it, and then they go, "Ah, ha, 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 ha," and then I'd say it again. And then it was not until I got off of the stage that someone explained to me that I had just talked about stretching myself as opposed to stretching the resources. So that was, and then wow. for the next year, every time I saw someone who'd been at that conference, they said, "Can you still stretch yourself?" So that
oh,
was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
Oh, God.
So that was one.
That's pretty bad.
I bet if you went back to that island, they would still say that. Oh, there she is.
There she is. Catherine.
Stretchy. Hey, Stretch.
Hey, Stretch.
But, I mean, again, innocent mistake, right?
Right.
I didn't know until I left, and then you live with the repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had many moments where I've met people that were just intimidating.
Yeah.
And then I've said the wrong thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they looked at me like I was an idiot. And yeah. then yeah. that's it. You're an idiot.
And then that's right. Exactly. You just want to crawl under a rock.
There,
and
you can't recuperate.
I was going to say, we've had wonderful, wonderful experiences with press and media and radio. But we've had one or two radio interviews where we come off and just go, ooh.
Oh, well,
just
I remember
happened?
Being interviewed by Armand DeMille, who he's passed away, but I really yeah. like him on WBAI. And it was about our book, our yeah. material, and he asked me something, and I said what we've said a million times, and he said, "Well, I disagree." Mm-hmm. And then he gave why he disagreed, and I just didn't know how. I mean, I just was
it's
shut
your
down.
Show. Well, you're wrong, even at your show.
Yeah. And actually, yeah. he was right. It was the way I had said it that was slightly wrong. Uh-huh. He just chose to take it that there, and that was yeah. that was not comfortable.
Yeah,
I mean,
ooh, especially on air.
Yeah, it, right.
That's
right.
That's intimidating.
It was intimidating. Yeah, we've had some press that were very challenging. But mm-hmm. kind of on that line of that sales training guy, like they're looking yeah. for a different style. They're looking for...
That's right.
I remember we were once interviewed for one of those dummy, you know, one of those dummy
Something
books.
For dummies?
Yeah, and uh-huh, we were gonna be on the radio show or something, and yeah. he wanted to see if I was any good to begin with, and he needed me to talk like that, like really fast, whatever yeah. it was. I didn't, and he finally got off the phone. He said, "You're not it," or whatever. And I just
oh
remember being
goodness.
So embarrassed, like, "Oh my God, I couldn't compete with this loudmouth." And you know, it takes a couple of weeks for you to say, "Thank God I didn't."
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But it, you know, at the time, but these are not. We're self-employed, so these are things that we could walk away from and laugh at.
Right.
When you yeah. have a job and you're humiliated.
And you're going to see people again. I
right.
think that's
right.
The
and they're judging
challenge.
You and they have, yeah. they hold, you know, whether you can keep your job or not. It's really difficult, but I always learn to just own up immediately. And then usually everybody moves on if you
yeah.
own
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Going to go to break?
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Okay, everybody, we're just going to go over a couple of ideas here now, since our story was about someone who made a mistake in their presentation and then couldn't stop obsessing about it. I just wanted to talk about a few ways that if you ever do make a huge mistake and feel humiliated, how to handle the obsessive part of it. And so I jotted down three things. One is that you want to honestly, relax. Try relaxing your system. Obsession runs on anxiety, and so the better you get at calming your system down, at breathing deeply and gently, we talked about some mindfulness meditation, all those things won't stop the obsession, but it will slow it down and can help it run its course. The second thing I jotted down is distract, and while normally wouldn't think that someone in psychology would say distract yourself, in fact, since obsessions, if you can recognize, okay, I'm obsessing again, then it's great to distract yourself from it because it's not serving you. So if you get involved in another task, if you help someone else instead of yourself, if you go outside and interact with nature or an animal or whatever does it for you, distracting can be helpful with the obsession. And then the third thing that I jotted down is interrupt. And some people do this where they literally insert words, like they'll just say it's over or let it go or turn it over or pass it out, you know, some term that you can say over and over again that literally interrupts the constant stirring of the same thought series over and over. And finally, if you know the feelings that are associated with your obsession, it's great to recognize those, because usually the feelings kick in first and the obsession then starts to whirl. So if you can feel those feelings, then that's a good time to, again, slow down, take a breath, exercise. And if you can't purge the obsession, go and talk to someone about it.
Mm-hmm. Those are great. Yeah. Those are really great. I mean, those are coping mechanisms. I think I've used them all.
I know I have.
Yeah. The distracting is really a good idea. It's true. You got to change the narrative in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and what's interesting is when they do studies of burnout, you know, people who get really burnt out at work versus people who don't, the mm-hmm. people who have children are the least burnt out, because that's a very healthy distraction. You're going to leave the office.
It's a busy one.
It's a busy one and deal with the needs of another living being who needs you, mm-hmm. right? So you can the opportunity there is to say, okay, I want to use this relationship to help myself as well, which mm-hmm. is to let go of this obsession, which isn't going to help me.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll just be walking down the street and just trip out of nowhere, you know, that feeling. Yeah. And there was nothing there to cause it. You know, you look back and there was nothing there. Yeah. You know, maybe the street was a little elevated. Yeah. I find those moments also very humiliating. Or when I say hi to somebody who I think is, I know them, but I don't. And they just look at you, you know, or somebody's waving at me, but they're actually waving at the person behind me and you wave back. All right. These are just your daily humiliations before you even get to the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that we have them. They come.
They come all the time. So I usually find, just change the narrative. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't go back.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing you can do, not this example notwithstanding, but in those examples when you're waving to someone, it's always great to share your embarrassing moment with others, I think, mm-hmm. Because it brings some levity to it mm-hmm. rather than make it seem like a terribly serious thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have plenty of those.
My favorite, we'll just say in terms of the one-on-one workplace, is when I was a recruiter and I had had too much caffeine one day. Mm. And I was talking to a candidate and I literally drooled on his application.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, that's really embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I wasn't even there. Wow.
Did he say something?
Well, the thing is, it, you know, it comes down on the paper and then you're like, oh, what do you do with it then? So I grabbed a napkin and he just went, well, you know, what are you going to say?
Oh, that's
very
awful.
Hydrated, huh?
Bodily fluids.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's rough. Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right.
There you go.
So we hope if you need help with your obsessions, please let us know. We'd be happy to help you. In the meantime, if you've had experiences with situations that you need to recover from that were terribly embarrassing or humiliating, please share them, tweet them to us at SK2. Vote for us on Podcast Land and review us on iTunes. And finally, don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.